As you listen to this morning's epistle reading from the opening verses of 2 Timothy, I invite you to pay attention to anything that might particularly draw your attention. See if there's any particular word or phrase or concept that also draws your focus. Because as a spiritual exercise, in fact, it may be the prompting of the Holy Spirit that helps guide this focus. Hear this word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace and mercy and peace from God and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I am reminded, and I remind you, to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed. For I know the one in whom I put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Well, there are indeed several elements of this particular passage that may have drawn your focus and attention. The Apostle Paul, or according to most modern biblical scholars, a later disciple of Paul's, using his name, writes a letter to his young missionary protege, Timothy. And it begins with an expression of being grateful to God for him and constantly remembering him in his prayers night and day. So perhaps you were drawn to think about someone to whom you are grateful to God. Perhaps you are keeping certain persons in your prayers day and night. In verse 4. Paul expresses his longing to see his friend again in person so that he may be filled with joy. Well, perhaps this recalls a recent or current feeling you have when thinking about seeing an old friend or a loved one that you haven't seen in a long while. Verse 7 reminds us that God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Perhaps this is what spoke to you in your dealing with certain things in your own life. And there's a beautiful line in verse 9 that reminds us that we have a holy calling from God, who calls us not according to our works, but according to God's purpose and grace. So perhaps you are experiencing a call from God to some specific person, purpose, at this very moment in your journey of faith. Then verse 10 includes the powerful theological statement that Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. In light of the reality that many of us continue to mourn the loss of a friend or a loved one, as well as those who are currently facing the transition from this life to the next, perhaps this message of new life, spent eternally in the loving presence of God, is what drew your attention this morning. And in verse 13 and 14, we hear the exhortation to hold to the standard of sound teaching. With all the falsities bombarding us on a daily basis, perhaps holding fast to what you believe to be true and as sound teaching is of particular importance to you right now. Well, all of those possibilities and more of what may have drawn your attention, but I think part of today's epistle reading that spoke to me is the author's recognition of Timothy's sincere faith that lived first in his grandmother Lois and in his mother Eunice. You know, this statement not only underscores a sense of continuity and succession of faith from one generation to the next, but also the important role that women have always played in the church, especially in the early church, which tends to be neglected, and of revealing and sharing a sincere and living faith. And that's something to which I know I can really relate as I think about my own mother and grandmothers. And like Timothy, perhaps we being persons of faith stem in part from being a member of a family of faith, and that was important. Passing along this faith, and I'm not talking about specific beliefs, is certainly an element of what it means to belong to a community of faith, one like College Hill. And today on this World Communion Sunday, we can recognize a unity of faith with other Christians from around the globe, even with those who have differing theological beliefs and practices. So then what kind of faith are we talking about, if not about specific beliefs? Well, the biblical author calls it a sincere faith, a gift of God that is within you, and a good treasure entrusted to you. So the next question becomes, what does the biblical author mean by a sincere faith? Well, the literal meaning of the Greek word that is translated as sincere is without hypocrisy. A primary criticism that Jesus had of many people in his own time, and especially of the religious leaders, is that they were steeped in hypocrisy. And I'm sure that Jesus would have the same criticism in our day and time. And concerning this, I wonder what Jesus would say about the continuing chaos in our nation's capital. Hypocrisy takes many forms, such as saying one thing in public and doing another thing in private. It's the old practicing what you preach. But hypocrisy also comes in the form of judging and condemning others while ignoring or excusing our own blatant faults and sinfulness. So one of the most insidious elements that comes with being a hypocrite is that it often leads to legalism. Focusing on the rules and the regulations associated with religious systems, for example, while ignoring the weightier issues of faith, such as love, and forgiveness, and mercy, and justice, and peacemaking. So when the author calls Timothy's faith sincere, he means that it is an authentic faith, it is non-pretentious, and it is a faith without hypocrisy. It is this faith that dwells deep within us, and it gives shape to both our inner and our outer lives. It is sincere faith, then, that leads us to wear our religion not on our sleeves for show, but in our hearts and in our thoughts and in our actions, And that's why it's important to be simply a person of faith. And that we live out our values rather than becoming obsessed over specific beliefs. And perhaps it would be a good idea then for each of us to spend some time reflecting upon how sincere our own faith is, combined with the courage to see if any hypocrisy has drifted into our attitudes and actions. Well, after commenting on Timothy's sincere faith, the author continues, "For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you." And perhaps it is this statement that has the most meaning for us today. The Greek word to rekindle is a wonderfully picturesque word. It combines three different linguistic elements. Again, bring to life, and light a fire. Thus, the combination of meanings in this one word, rekindle, which only appears this one time in the New Testament, urges us to bring a certain fire back into our life. And evidently, Timothy's faith was once blazing brightly, but it appears it may have grown dim. And perhaps many of us could say the same, that our faith, and again, I'm not talking about certainty of beliefs, but rather simply being a person of faith. Our faith may have once burned brightly in us, in you, in me. But perhaps that flame has grown dim. If so, take to heart this powerful message of encouragement to rekindle this gift of God's sacred presence that dwells within you and us together as a community of faith. And again, for some reason, the awareness of that gift of God within Timothy was growing dimmer, whether it be through his own inattentiveness or more likely a loss of confidence by the sufferings and the stresses of life itself. And the same stress and anxiety may be taking a toll on our faith. We are encouraged, therefore, to rekindle that gift, as stated in verse 14. And this is how it is accomplished, with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. For a faith that is sincere, without hypocrisy, without pretension, can and does have a profound impact on helping to transform our own lives, our community of faith, and the world around us. Let us pray. Loving God, rekindle the fire of the gift of your sacred presence in each person here this day, and within all in our community of faith, and within all of creation. Amen.